Morning, golfers. Welcome to Finding Fairways on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by CarlsGolfland.com. Jerry Coyne is on the phone with my former co-host, Don Helinski, the director of golf at Forest Dunes. Unfortunately, Don read the writing on the wall this year and didn't think he could get away enough to co-host the show with me, but kind enough to join us this morning. Don, how are you?
Oh, doing great. Busy. Great season for golf with everything going on in the world. So excited to be on the show with you today.
Yeah, thanks for doing that. So tell our listeners a little bit about what's going on at Forest Dunes and when they might look to book some rounds, because I was on the site and July doesn't look so fabulous.
Yeah, we are very, very well booked up, but there still is some opportunities, obviously depending on the size of your group and how much you're looking to play. But a lot of the prime times are taken up, but been a great season. We've had a lot of people through already, and as you said, a lot of people on the tee sheet, but really taken off. Coming out of COVID, golf facilities in general have all been very busy. You know, as a destination resort, it usually takes a couple of years because people are planning a few years in advance. So some of the additions that we've made with the bootlegger course and adding music out there and things like that have really increased our popularity.
Yeah, especially for those listening in our local area here in Grayling, Roscommon, Gaylord, the core locals for Forest Dunes. Looks to me, Don, that if you're going to get around in on Forest Dunes or the Loop, better to be in the afternoon. I didn't see very many morning tee times open.
Yes, and again, it just depends on days of the week and your group size. If it's just a foursome, there's bound to be some holes in there at various times. You know, our lodging is pretty much full Thursday through Sundays. Those folks are staying and playing several rounds, and most of them are in larger size groups. So, you know, there's a big chunk of the day that they'll take up together. A group of 20 is going to have five tee times, so that's almost an hour's worth right there, is blocked by just one group. The website would be the best place to check availability. That shows what we have, forestdunesgolf.com, and you're able to book right there as well, or you can give us a call at 989-275-0700.
That's right. So wanted to give people caught up on what's happening at Forest Dunes. Always lovely to play in the fall, and there are some availabilities then. Don, but you and I haven't chatted in a while, and I know you love golf as much as I do, and it's been one of the more tumultuous PGA seasons on record.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of crazy with the new LIV Tour and everything that is going on with that. You kind of had the Tiger somewhat coming back and now isn't, and it'll be very interesting to see 5-10 years from now when we look back at what happens, what it does to professional golf, but also to golf in general. Does it have some trickle down effect? But I look at it as my favorite sport, basketball. What if a rival NBA group came up to try and challenge the NBA, and what does that do long range to the history of the game and things like that? I think with the kind of bidding wars and things like that have gone on, politics aside and all that kind of stuff, dividing the talent and knowing that maybe some of the best players in the world aren't playing on the PGA Tour, they're playing in the other tour. It'll be very interesting to see what happens. Is this a sustainable league? Obviously, they have the money to be able to do that, but the politics internally of the PGA, removing the folks that actually play in a live event. So it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out.
You know, it's funny. I do want to ask you some questions about Liv, but if this hadn't become such a huge focus of the sport and the sporting world in general, you know, the talk would be about Scottie Scheffler. I mean, just an explosive season for him. You know, a lot of people saw a pretty good future for him and was very successful at the Ryder Cup, but then, you know, winning five events already in a major, and he's figured in the other two majors. It'd be interesting to see what he does playing Lynx Golf over at St. Andrews.
Yeah, and I mean, that's, you know, the great thing as well about an individual sport like golf is you can kind of have somebody come out of nowhere and go on a real hot streak. I mean, he was on the radar, but I don't know that anybody really expected him to have the season that he has had so far. It'll be interesting to see if he's able to continue that.
We were talking last week, Kevin Frisch and myself, and I wanted to get your opinion. St. Andrews is going to be, obviously it's the home of golf, but if it doesn't get any wind when they play there in a couple of weeks, I mean, they could go lower than they did when Louis Oosthuizen won there. What do you won at 21 under?
Yeah, I mean, it's always interesting to see when the rotation makes the stop at St. Andrews, and part of Lynx Golf is battling the weather there, and you know we know that there's not necessarily as much hazards and things that come into play on a Lynx style course. Rounds definitely, could go low, and we've seen that before in other professional events, just not necessarily in a lot of the majors.
Well, there's nothing they can do with St. Andrews, right? They can't make it any longer, and they're certainly not going to make changes to the home of golf. So Kevin suggested that it won't matter, that fans will take whatever they get as far as scoring is concerned. You know, every once in a while, the U.S. Open, they'll go, 10 or 12 or under par, and people just lose their minds. Every 5 years, the Open returns to St. Andrews, and the way the distances that the ball is going, and a defenseless golf course without the wind or other weather calamities, I don't know if it renders that golf course useless.
Yeah, and I mean, maybe one of the ways that they could, you know, create a challenge is with pin locations and their green complexes. But then, you know, does that get too tricky and gimmicky, and is that really fair at the same time?
I think
there was the one viral video from this spring of a high school girls state championship, where there was a tough pin location and it ended up being kind of a big joke nationally. That's maybe one way that they could, you know, present a little bit of a challenge given those conditions.
They could steal a page from the Loop and have one of the days go the other way around, because that's the original golf course that they still do, I think, once a year play that in an opposite direction at St. Andrews.
Yes, as far as I know, they still do that, and I think that would be very very interesting for them to do, just to add a challenge and be something brand new for the golfers as well, that maybe they are not that they're not used to and prepared for, and they're playing it versus a course that you've played, you know, some of these professionals have played time and time again and are very familiar with it. That'd be a neat little twist.
I think it'd be outstanding if they just one day on Saturday, okay, guys, I hate to spring it on you, but you're starting on 18 green and we're heading backwards. Of course, Tiger Woods skipped the U.S. Open and has said publicly that he is going to return to play the Open. He's won at St. Andrews twice, when only one other guy in history has done that. Considering maybe that he's more healed than we've seen him, do you give him any type of shot, Don?
Well, I mean, I think with all the things that you talked about with the possible conditions and things, I think that would lend itself to a better likelihood that he would have a shot. And I think, you know, the greatest attribute, or one of the greatest attributes of Tiger, is his mental toughness. And, you know, we saw the way he gutted out the U.S. Open a few years ago with the hurt leg. You know, I would think out of anybody he could battle some of those injuries and other outside distractions as well as anyone. And you know, I think all of us as fans would love for that to be able to be the case as well, and create a lot of interest in it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously, Tiger just playing in the Masters and making the cut was almost as big a story as Scheffler winning the tournament himself. So he still moves the needle like nobody else. When we return here on Finding Fairways, Don and I will discuss just a little bit more of Tiger Woods. I know it's Don's favorite subject. And ask him a couple more things about Tiger and how it related to the LIV Tour. That's coming up next here on Up North Sports Radio's Finding Fairways, brought to us by CarlsGolfLand.com. It is time to check in with our good, good friends at CarlsGolfLand.com. Tim Coyle's on the phone. And Tim, once Father's Day's over, you think there's a little lull, but here we are for the 4th of July, and you have exploding flash sales and deals all over CarlsGolfLand.com.
Yeah, and some of them are, even if you missed something over the last couple of weeks, a couple of the deals are in some categories and things that we've been hitting lately through by the manufacturers. So there's some good stuff across the board for sure.
Yeah, I was just telling you off the air, I ordered off the last flash sale a pair of Skechers, under $70 delivered, and they came in 2 days. I love them.
That's great. Yeah, I mean, any order that we get during business day, it's usually shipping out same or next business day. Yeah, usually a couple days within the state of Michigan, no problem.
One of the things that's really getting popular, I know, Tim, and you've got some great deals, is on range finders.
Yeah, range finders. We have Bushnell just had a limited time promo they started where $50 off their Tour V5 series range finders. So there's two different models. There's the standard V5, and then there's V5 Shift, which has slope as well. So you're getting $50 off of both of those. And then a relatively new but very popular brand over the last year and a half or so, Blue Tees. They make some range finders as well and some accessories. A lot of their range finders right now have a promotion for 4 days only over the weekend.
You sent me some stuff, and I know that there's some deals on Oakley and Ray-Ban sunglasses. And I got to tell you, Oakley has two new lines of golfing sunglasses that are pretty terrific.
Yeah, there's not too many discounts in that category, really, throughout the year. But when there are, we like to talk about it, obviously. You know, Oakley, the optics that they have, you know, are second to none. And we have a pretty large selection in terms of styles, whether you're looking for something pre- or post-round, you know, something a little more casual, just driving even. And, you know, Ray-Ban as well, obviously, and those that catered more towards the lifestyle. But, yeah, we have them in stock. They're, both of those brands are getting $30 off as well. So pretty good deal. And, again, there's not too many discounts in that category throughout the year. So it's now's the time if you're in the market there.
Yeah, and then last but not least, the American-themed gear, USA stuff, also lots of good-looking outfits.
Yeah, of course. I mean, we love our red, white, and blue and USA stuff. So, the you know, we put a category together where there's limited edition, you know, Cobra drivers and putters that are Volition, you know, USA-themed, you know, towels, obviously the apparel. But, yeah, a lot of good stuff we put together in a category for everybody looking to kind of spice up, you know, their game with some USA gear.
There you go. Thanks to everybody at Carl's for helping us celebrate the 4th. Tim, have a good holiday.
You do the same. Thank you.
Welcome back to Finding Fairways here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by CarlsGolfland.com. Jerry Coyne is on the phone with the director of golf at Forest Dunes, Don Holinsky, my former co-host. Hopefully that he'll be able to recover those duties sometime in the future. But, Don, as we ended our last discussion, you know, the story was is that Jack Nicklaus turned down $200 million to be commissioner of the LIV Tour. I don't think they paid Greg Norman that much. I think Norman would do it for free given the amount of acrimony he has with the PGA Tour. Tiger Woods, I don't know what the actual number is. I don't know if Tiger will ever divulge it, but the rumors are that was north of $700 million to commit to 3 years for the LIV Tour. That's just an insane amount of money.
It is, and, you know, at the same time, a guy like Tiger, you know, what is more money to him, really, in the whole grand scheme of things, and maybe, you know, between, you know, his legacy in the PGA Tour and what's going to happen to this down the road, you know, maybe important to him, as well as just him, you know, kind of distancing himself from his scandals and his personal life, and he's kind of reinvented himself a little bit and is back in the public light. I mean, for anybody, that's a lot of money to turn down. And I think that's when you hear Rory and Justin Thomas and some of those other guys talk, you know, I think it's also not about the money as well. It's about a reverence to the game and what was the opportunities and everything that were created at one point by the PGA Tour. And I think that goes, you know, to maybe some of the skepticism of is this going to be a long-term thing or is this just a flash in the pan and, you know, something created by the Saudi government to, you know, help raise their worldly image as well.
Right. Well, it'll get interesting because of the world golf points, right? Now, Norman, I don't know which body actually doles out golf points, but that's how most of the better players on the planet get into the majors, right? So unless you're a defending champion, Dustin Johnson and Phil Mickelson and Brooks Koepka all are, right? So no matter what, these guys will be able to get into the majors in the next 4 years, 3 to 4 years, because they've all won recently. But if the world golf bodies don't recognize victories and placings on the LIV Tour, and there's a good reason not to, considering that there's no cut and it's 54-hole tournaments, then the rest of these guys are not going to be – they're going to have to do local qualifying to get into the Opens and won't be able to play in the PGA Championship. So that in itself may be a big change here in the next, 24 months.
Yes, and, you know, I would maybe argue that the guys that opted to play in the LIV Tour, you know, it is about the money, and so they're probably going to make more money, you know, and be better off in the situation they're in playing in that tour and maybe not playing in the event. The majors are more about the prestige and honor and that going along with saying that you are a major winner. Well, you know, you can't have it both ways, and so you got to make a decision. Well, my guess is they made the decision to take the money that and they're probably going to make more money you know, that way. So it isn't as much. To me, the interesting thing will be, like, the PGA Championship. Does the PGA at some point kind of go with the tour and say, yeah, no, you can't play in this? And I mean, they are kind of somewhat of a close tie in there, but to me, that'll be the interesting one, kind of for the first challenge of it on a major scale is what does the PGA organization do?
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously it's about money. RBC dropped Dustin Johnson. I don't know what his contract is. I mean, it was probably a five-year, $3.5 million deal. That's what those are kind of pegged at. But at $166 million or whatever they paid him over a four-year period, who gives a crap?
Exactly.
So that goes from fractional jet ownership to full jet ownership. the other question is, obviously the Saudis have enough money to keep this rolling for a while. I'm really surprised that Fox has not stepped in and picked these TV, any of the coverage of the tournaments up, given Rupert Murdoch and the way that Fox did business and the way he did business in Europe, for decades. This is a perfect scandalization. Put Norman in the booth and have at it.
And that's kind of, kind of along those lines and where I worry as well is, you have this another organization and, are they doing things to the game to make it more interesting and whatever? I mean, are we having, I think the Rock and Jock basketball on the MTV days or whatever and the, the half court, 20 point shot or whatever it was and different things where it's just there is a reverence in that with the game of golf itself, and one of my fears as well is that with a new organization and doing different things and trying to stay relevant and be different and separate yourself and have some cool, fun aspects to it. But then again, here I am saying this, and we've got music on the bootlegger. So,
right.
Things do change over the course of time. I just worry some bit of what'll happen overall to the game of golf as it trickles down to us avid amateur type golfers who just enjoy the game for recreation.
Well, I mean, there are two things. I mean, but the recreational golfer makes up the bulk of the TV audience, right? And I have to imagine that one of the main reasons why the LIV Tour made it a 54-hole tour is because nobody watches golf on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you don't have it on TV. You're just, watching it on Facebook. So they still got a number of things to figure out there, and I don't think that story is going away anytime soon. But we wanted to get Don off the golf course at Forest Dunes for a few minutes and get his perspective on all the stuff that are happening. And so, Don, thanks for taking the time for joining us on Northern Focus. And what is that website again?
ForestDunesGolf.com.
That's right. One of the finer golf websites on the planet. And if you get a chance, find a tee time and get over there. Don, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks, Jared.
All right, we'll be back after these words from our fine partners on Up North Sports Radio's Finding Fairways, brought to us by CarlsGolfland.com. Finding Fairways here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by CarlsGolfland.com. Switching gears here, I'm now joined by Joe Charles, one of our fine co-hosts, who is the Director of Golf Instruction at the Boyne Golf Academy. Good morning, Joe. How's things at Boyne?
Things are great. A lot of activity here. We have the AJGA just moved into the office next to me, and they're kind of getting geared up for their big tournament here that's going to be played on the Moor course right after the holiday. So we're excited for that. And I've got a junior camp going on here with the Golf Academy right now, and we've got some kids running around the golf course. I ran in to spend a few minutes talking with you while they're out on the course. So we're all things are a go right now for sure.
How many juniors do you have in the camp?
Just 12. So we keep these a little bit on the smaller side. We like to give them some personal attention, each kid, and kind of coach them individually rather than just kind of a group, you know, everybody's working on the same thing kind of format.
Right.
So, yeah, it's going really well.
What age range are we talking about?
What's that?
The age range of your students.
Yeah. So this is 12 to 18. So our junior camps are designed to kind of prepare kids for high school golf. And, you know, and we have occasionally some older kids that are actually preparing for college golf eventually. So it's good, kind of a good feeder program to get kids into private golf lessons and kind of figure out if they like the sport or not and, you know, what they, you know, what level they want to play at.
Well, we were talking last week with Kevin Frisch, who was at the Island Resort and Casino where the Epson Tour, used to be called the Symetra Tour, is up there. And we were talking about how many more girls have been in the Boyne Golf Academy.
Yeah, we actually had Kevin here this week as well, and he had a bunch of golf writers here, and they were asking me some of those same questions. And it's been nice to see the young girls, you know, kind of coming through our programs and getting excited about golf. And we have a couple, you know, girls in the camp this week. You know, it's interesting because at that age, girls go through, you know, growth spurts, and they develop a little earlier than boys do.
Right.
So sometimes when you get these, you know, 12, 13-year-old girls, they've gone through, you know, or they're going through puberty before the boys do.
Right.
And they can actually hit it further than some of the boys at the same age, which is, it's kind of cool to see. We love teaching the young girls. They do a great job.
That was part of our discussion about how the explosion of golf at the youth level has really been remarkable, and it's probably split pretty close 50-50, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, we have some programs that are going on that kind of are feeding that explosion that you just talked about. We've got a drive, chip, and putt event that is being held at Boyne Mountain in a couple weeks, which we're super excited about. This is our second year in a row hosting that. And the turnout so far, and you can still sign up for that event. It's free to all juniors, and it's doubled since last year, the amount of kids that we have signed up for it. For those of you who are not, you know, familiar with drive, chip, and putt, it's like the coolest program in the whole world. I mean, these kids, they come and they do a qualifier here, and then they go to the next stage and the next stage, and they finally, if they are good enough, the final stage is at Augusta National, which is one of the partners of drive, chip, and putt. So it's just a really, really cool event, and we actually have had some local kids, you know, perform pretty well in that over the years.
So, parents listening this weekend, is it as easy as going to boinegolf.com for a tab to sign up?
You can go through that. I would go right through the Drive, Chip, and Putt website, and you'll be able to, you know, sign up for it right on that, which is, I think, the easiest way to do it.
Yeah, it is a, like you said, super cool finals at Augusta, at the same time during the women's amateur event, just before the actual Masters. So, I mean, if your child could reach that summit, and I know one person who's done it, just an amazing experience that you'd never, ever forget in your lifetime.
Well, and you hear, you know, there's so many stories that come out of this. Like I had one of my kids that I teach, he made it, you know, through three stages, and he's at Medina in Chicago for the stage right before Augusta, and he's leading the event, and only a couple kids are coming out of his division, and this kid comes in and he makes like a 25-foot putt to beat him by 1 point to go to Augusta. And you know, you hear these stories, and it's such a great opportunity for these kids to learn, you know, life lessons, and it's really cool stuff for sure.
Yeah, my friend's son Preston Topper was in the second year ever that they had it there and made it to Augusta. So amazing stuff. So we wanted to touch base with that. I had a couple other ideas. So we're a little bit, I don't know if you'd call it the midway point of the golf season, but close. And I'm sure you've got a whole bunch of people reaching out to the Boyne Golf Academy about the things that they've seen in their game that they want to improve. Is it pretty much a wide net of things, or are more people just want to improve their distance or improve their short game or get better at putting?
This time of year, it's interesting because you have different types of students as you go throughout the course of the summer. You have the, I call them New Year's resolutioners, which start really early in the season, and they, you know, they're all pumped up. This is going to be their year. I'm going to play my best golf ever, which we love those people.
Yeah.
And then, you know, now we're kind of in the second stage right now where we have the mid-season slumpers coming through, and that those are the people that, you know, they played a handful of rounds of golf and they're not getting any better. And, you know, and how do you get better at something? Well, you have to change something, right? And people don't like change. But they have to, you have to change something, you know, what's the definition of insanity kind of a thing. So they're coming in and they have specific requests, right? So they have a report of, okay, here are the things that are happening in my game. You know, all of our coaches interview all of our students before they get started with any changes. And they have specific things like, I want to be able to hit my tee shots a little bit further.
Right.
Or I want to get rid of this slice that's, you know, where I'm hitting out of bounds 3 times per round. You know, specific stuff like that, which we love. You know, so when you sign up for a golf lesson, you want to have those 2 or 3 kind of hot buttons where you know, if I can change this, it's really going to help me enjoy the game more. So
right.
Those are the types of people we have coming in now.
Yeah, I just had that conversation with a friend of mine who just got back into the game, and I asked him how things were going, and he's like, well, I got the chip yips, and which is awful. I mean, as I told Jason in this conversation, I said that my dad stopped playing with me because he came down with those so badly. The rest of his game was fine, but if he missed the green by 3 yards, he was going to hockey puck it back and forth over the green. It was disastrous.
Yeah, chipping yips are a real thing. I think I saw a tour player playing last week who actually was chipping cross-handed. I can't remember who it was right now. And it's for the same thing. He had the chipping yips. And, you know, you get players that come through, and they're okay with a full whack at it. But when you have to make a motion that's a little bit smaller motion where the club's not moving as quickly, we start to see people who have what we call ball anxiety. So
right.
They're actually scared of that golf ball, right? They're scared of that moment when the club actually makes contact with the ball. And that's where those chipping yips, you know, obviously there's putting yips that everybody's heard of. There's specific things that we do with people to kind of alleviate that tension for sure.
Well, I know one of them is being too ball-centric. It, when your face, you know, looking at the ball, and I just got to put the club face on the back of the ball, but you don't think about your club path, your swing path, or finishing the shot, that is probably the first problem.
Yeah, you know, a lot of players come through and they say, I already know what my problem is, Coach Joe. I lift my head up. Or they'll ask me questions like, which part of the ball should I be looking at? You know, should I be looking at the front of the ball? Should I be looking at the back of the ball? What do you look at when you swing? And one of them asked me that the other day, and I said, you know what, that's a good question. I don't think I look at the ball at all. I'm not really thinking about the
right.
ball too much. I'm thinking about what the way my body's moving, and my vision actually kind of goes blank, so to speak, right? I'm not really, you know, it doesn't have anything to do with what your eyes are focusing on when you're down in golf posture. You know, the more important thing is how you're moving. And the ball just kind of gets in the way if you make a good golf swing.
Absolutely. Just one of the great tips that you can find when you get into the Boyne Golf Academy. We'll be back after these words from our fine partners on Up North Sports Radio's Finding Fairways with an additional conversation with Joe Charles from the Boyne Golf Academy. Finding Fairways on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by CarlsGolfland.com. Jerry Coyne, continuing our conversation with Joe Charles, Director of Golf Instruction at the Boyne Golf Academy. Joe, you know, one thing that I wanted to ask, we were just talking off air about the event, the Travelers event, and Scottie Scheffler hitting a little shank. You see one every once in a while. Patrick Cantlay had a shot in a tournament that I've never seen a pro hit before. I mean, obviously a pure miss hit on a par 3 where there's a 30-yard pond in front of the green, and he put it in the front end of the pond.
Yeah, yeah. Another one, Justin Thomas in the PGA Championship final round had a shank and ends up winning the tournament. So it happens. You know, Ben Hogan said that the closest thing to a perfect golf shot is a shank. He always wanted that contact to be between the heel and the center of the club face.
Right.
And, you know, that hosel's getting pretty close at that point in time. A shank's never a good feeling. A lot of players will come in, you know, they want specific anti-shank golf lessons. And there's a lot of things in your swing that can cause a shank. You know, the important thing is to not freak out, not be too scared. Sometimes you're not as far off as you think you are when you're getting that shank, even though it feels just terrible when you do it.
Yeah, it's like that scene in Tin Cup. Just shooting chili peppers up Lee Jansen's ass.
Yeah, put your change in your left pocket, double tie your right shoe, turn your hat around.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. No, I have a tendency when I just de-sell on chips, and I told you we weren't going to do this, but now we are, about putting all this bad juju out in the airwaves about shanks and other things. But they are part of the game, and it's part of the reason why people go to the Boeing Golf Academy and to lose those. But, you know, the question I had for you, so you were watching the U.S. Open. The shot that Matthew Fitzpatrick hit out of the bunker on 18 to eventually win the tournament did not look like a very easy shot. And then if you were happen to, I know you were watching that, but the following week at the Travelers, Sagdeep Tagala had a very similar situation, hit it in the bunker at the top of the lip and tried to hit a hero shot, left it in the bunker, ended up missing out on a playoff by a stroke for his first PGA win. I wonder if you ever get that kind of discussion with your students about, you know, when is the time to take on a hero shot, what kind of the mindset is. I mean, we've all been there. You're like, what are the chances I could pull this damn shot off?
But, I mean, that Tagala that you just mentioned, I mean, that poor guy, I mean, I can't imagine more of a heartbreak than that. And he had one earlier this year also. And, you know, he almost had a breakthrough win.
Right.
Where he kind of, you know, on a short par four with that, you know, drivable par four, he hits hybrid off the tee and gets a hot bounce and the thing rolls 50 yards into the water where he hit kind of a perfect shot off the tee.
Right.
So just really bad luck. So, you know, that happens in golf, right? The key is, and, you know, going back to your question, is understanding the situation that you're in. So, kind of playing the percentages. Always, obviously, hindsight is 2020, but, you know, in that situation, you have to understand your strengths and weaknesses and know if you have confidence to be able to hit a certain golf shot. And at the end of the day, it's a gut instinct kind of decision that you have to make. And you know, sometimes it's good to listen to your gut, but, you know, everybody's different. And, you know, for some players like Tagala, you know, probably should have taken a little bit more lofted club and not try to get that ball to the green, but, you know, maybe he just really felt good about it. And, you know, obviously he wasn't successful though.
Yeah. This, one thing that I would highly urge golfers to try those kind of shots when there's no pressure on you. I mean, you hear this every once in a while when a player is in a divot or in a really heavy lie. You saw Rory McIlroy, you saw a lot of guys trying to hit out of very heavy grass at the U.S. Open to no avail. I mean,
yeah, I mean, you see that all the time, too, when players are practicing. You know, you get really, really good with your hand-eye coordination, fluffing the golf ball up so that it's a absolute perfect lie every
right.
single time when you're chipping or you're hitting balls on the range, you're finding that perfect little piece of grass to hit the ball off of. And here at Boeing, we're lucky because we have absolutely fantastic turf conditions. But you do see that from time to time. And what we encourage our players to do is just kind of, you know, not do that all the time. Hit the ball out of bad spots. I have a junior who has a tough time. He's a really good player, but he's a picker, and he doesn't know how to compress the ball as well as I
right.
want him to. So we actually had a practice session the other day where I had him hitting balls out of divots on purpose so that he learns how to, you know, hit down on the ball a little bit more and trap it. And that's a great drill, you know, to practice for people. So, you know, like you said, practicing some of those, you know, less than ideal situations are great. You know, when I used to work at Medalist, we had some tour players that were members there, and Richard S. Johnson and Freddie Jakobsen,
right.
a couple Swedish guys, and they used to go around the chipping area and bet each other, and they would, you know, drop balls in the weirdest spots you would ever imagine, and they would see who could get the ball you know, up and down from, you know, those situations. And they obviously had a little cash on the line while they were doing it. But that's another example of those, you know, players not just practicing in a perfect spot, practicing in those weird areas as well.
Well, no doubt. That's, you know, I am not the most accurate of players, so I have the opportunity to play out of some horrific areas in the trees and everything else and pull shots off all the time. And the only reason why I saw it's because I have them all the time. You know, when you can hit a hooded driver, you know, and keep it low enough to get it, run it up 160 yards to the front of the green, people go like, how do you do that? I go, well, I probably have four of these shots around.
Well, that's a real thing, right? You know, like, yeah. Arnold Palmer was famous for that, having incredible, you know, kind of recovery shots. And he was, you know, he was kind of known for it throughout his career, but he wasn't the straightest driver of the golf ball. So he probably got more practice at that than a lot of players. So, yeah, you see that a lot for sure.
Well, that is the key. The key is to improve your game is to practice, but find the right type of practice, and that's reaching out to the guys at the Boyne Golf Academy. Joe, how do they do that?
The best resource is just going to our website, www.boynegolf.com, to select activities and then instruction, and you'll see all of our different golf schools, our private golf lessons, and all the development programs that we have going on throughout the season.
Joe Charles, thanks for joining us on Finding Fairways. Have a great 4th of July weekend.
You too, Jerry.
All right, that'll do it for us here on Finding Fairways. As we'd like to say, find a fairway of your own, stick a peg in the ground, and pound it down the middle. We'll see you next week here on Up North Sports Radio. It's time to check in with our good friends at Boyne Golf. Jerry Coyne's on the phone with Ken Griffin. And Ken, I know you had our co-host Kevin Frisch out there with a whole bunch of golf riders. I heard they had a fantastic time on Boyne's courses.
Yeah, no, it was a great week, you know. It's the perfect northern Michigan weather, a little bit of rain at night, unbelievable conditions. You know, we had guys, national pub radio and print, and Golf Newsnet, CBS Radio, New England Golf, Lanes Magazine, Northeast Golf, the Rob Report, East Southern Golf. I mean, guys from all over. And, you know, about half had been here at some point, hadn't been here for 5 or 6 years. They were impressed with the improvements we made. But over the course of it, you know, we played about 90 holes of golf in 3 days. And, you know, some of the comments from these guys, the quality conditions across the courses, you and I have talked about that. You know, the Northern Michigan hospitality, it just doesn't get any better because we all love living here. And then kind of the final was that they played more golf than they ever had. We kind of pounded them for 3 days. But 5 rounds in 3 days, and then they were like, wait a minute, we only played half the courses. We have to come back.
Hey, how do I get that gig? I don't understand why I'm not part of those. I'm media.
Well, we get you over here, and I'll tell you what, by Thursday, you could have taken my spot because I'm not used to playing 90 holes of golf in 3 days, so I was feeling a little beat up, but we had a great time.
Yeah, and, you know, you just pointed out all the things that make Boyne so great, the course variety, and it's not, you know, every course is not the same. You see some resorts up here that will go nameless that, you know, they're nice courses, but they're all pretty much the same. That couldn't be farther from the case at Boyne.
Well, it certainly was something to try to achieve. You know, the location we have with the courses on, you know, right on Little Traverse Bay in Lake Michigan, and then, you know, 12 miles north of Boyne Highlands, the mountain courses, and kind of the same thing down at the Boyne Mountain, where you have a 1.2-mile drive and you play down to that beautiful Deer Lake.
Yeah, the variety, the conditions, the hospitality, it's all available, and you still have that great U.S. Open tee time offer available.
Yeah, it's good through the 7th. It's 15% off tee times Sunday through Thursday on 5 of the courses between 11 and 4. And in those 5 include, you know, one of your favorites, the Heather, and it also includes the 4th of July. So before all those hot dogs and hamburgers and fireworks, get out in the morning and play some rounds.
Ken, just for the locals, I know sometimes 4th of July, you can get some really good tee times. And, of course, if you go on BoyneGolf.com, you can see the sliding scale of prices if people are going to slide out.
Yeah, for sure. Just visit BoyneGolf.com. And, Jerry, sure hope everyone does get out and play a few rounds and has a very safe 4th of July.
Thank you, Ken. We'll see you out on the fairways at Boyne.
See you, Jerry.